ahead. You're headed right into the danger zone. This is Raylan Allen of RumorMillNews.com, going on 12 years now. And this is Rumor Mill News Radio, going on 2 weeks now. We're talking to Jack and Angela of DisclosureNewsMagazine.com. And we are going down a list of the things that people need to start their own small newspaper. The small newspaper is, that's the weapon we've got to fight the programming. And Angela, I cut you off to go mop floors. And where were we?
We were talking about a reader, a poster on a particular site who was saying about our paper that we're prophetic. We've been saying certain things for a number of years in our paper. I think the thing he was specifically talking about were earthquakes. After our earthquake happened back in April, or 32 earthquakes happened back in April.
I know.
Yeah.
It was like a bowl of jello back there.
Well, I'm particularly scared to death of earthquakes for some reason, and we've been writing about our earthquake danger in this area for 5.5 years now.
Now, are you on the New Madrid Fault?
We are on an offshoot of the New Madrid, north and east, called the Wabash Valley Seismic Zone that nobody really knew anything about until June of 2002. And, of course, that was a year before we started our paper, so when we did, I like to talk about these things that are off a little bit in left field, and I like to talk about earthquake danger. And I would warn people, please, use sense. Use earthquake mitigation sense. Don't stack these shelves and things with heavy items that are going to fall on you in your office or on your bed if there's a little 5.0 shaker. Don't do that. And I hammered at this for years, and people would make fun of us. They'd put up these polls on these other websites and say, how much do you believe that an earthquake's going to hit this area in the next however many years, you know, and make fun of us. Well, they stopped making fun on April 8th and 19th of this year. And so this guy was prompted to say, we're prophetic at Disclosure. I don't think so at all. And Jack doesn't think so. We were just discussing this at the break. We write common sense. We don't write this fluffy stuff that everybody else in the area does. We don't take this neutral line when we observe somebody doing something wrong, like violating the Open Meetings Act at a county board meeting or something like that. We call them to the carpet. So we don't do this neutral thing that all mainstream media is doing. As the fourth leg of government, we take responsibility where others maybe don't even know they have responsibility, and hold these people accountable. And so that's where also the common sense comes in. When we say, we can say, your city council is going to do something wrong. They're doing something wrong, and they're going to get found out. And then they get found out, these people go, oh, Disclosure's prophetic. No, it's going to happen.
Absolutely.
And we're the ones who are saying it's going to happen. We have enough backbone to say, yeah, this is going to happen.
Well, that is incredible that guy wrote that on that blog. I'm quite happy. It probably brought lots of other people over to read Disclosure.
It helped.
And I still have to go. I want to go back to, you make your money off rack sales.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you had to buy the racks?
Well, in some instances, we found a place in St. Louis that created them for us, and they're small and they're unobtrusive. In some places, they'll have a news rack. Convenience stores, liquor stores, places like that will have news racks up, and you just go in and you say, hey, would you like to carry our paper? Our vendors, we don't make any secret of this, our vendors get a quarter for every paper they sell. So our profit is $1.75 on each paper, and that's not much of a profit, but we're not here to make a fortune. That's not the point. The point is to get the news out. And we want to keep our vendors happy, so we give them as much as we possibly can out of our sales, and they give us a good prominent place, and they take a lot of flack from the public officials we write about, especially if they're on the front page. They'll take flack. And so it takes backbone on the part of the vendors to say, get out of my store. If you're in here raising heck, get out.
Absolutely.
They have the First Amendment right to say what they're saying about you.
Now, I know you send this paper all around the world.
Yes.
Now, why do people all around the world want to read about your community?
Because it is happening in their community.
That's right.
You could have what's happening in, say, Mount Carmel, Illinois, is happening in a little town outside of Topeka, Kansas. And people will, they'll get our paper and say, here's how they're handling it there. Let's see if we can't get our public officials to do this. And they'll have an issue that'll be exactly identical to what's happening here.
And you know that I have encouraged Rumor Mill News readers to subscribe to the Disclosure magazine for quite some time. If any of the listeners want to subscribe, how much is it and how do they do it?
Right now, we have two subscription rates locally in two zip codes, 624 and 628 zip codes. We have a $32 annual subscription, and then anything outside of those two zip code areas is $35. We had to raise our rates recently because of the postal increases. $35, and we will mail this. In fact, we did our mailing today for the November issue to anybody. It takes. We don't have a first-class permit. We have a standard mailing permit. It's less expensive, and it keeps us under the radar as regards what we have to report every year. We don't have to do a publication statement every year.
Okay.
Because we don't have a first-class rate. So it takes 7 to 10 days for you to get our paper on a subscription. It's once a month, and you just send a check or money order only for $35 to Disclosure at Route 2, Box 32A. Route 1, Box 32A. Jack is reminding me. Route 1, Box 32A, Browns, Illinois, 62818. And that'll get you our paper. And then you can see if there are things happening in your community, and you know it, but your local paper isn't saying it, then you can compare. And because we cover 13 counties, rather, and there are roughly 30 towns in those 13 counties, you know, something's bound to strike a chord.
Well, I've just got Joe in Idaho wanting to know how he can become a vendor.
Oh,
Do you have any vendors outside of your immediate surroundings?
No. No. We have, because our product is so local, because we are limited to southeastern Illinois and southwestern Indiana as far as the coverage area,
mm-hmm.
We do have a couple of national estate pages, and that's just a common sense approach to the national estate issues. A lot of people really outside of our immediate area don't carry our paper as a vendor, but hey, if Joe wants to email us, tell him to email us. Go to the website, disclosurenewsmagazine.com, and there's a link that gets an email right to us, and we will talk to him about if he wants to sell our papers, we'll arrange it. We're happy to do that.
Well, as I said, you know, I finish reading my newspaper over a cup of coffee in the local Safeway next to the post office, and then I take the paper back to the post office because they want to read it. One of your, I've got to have you tell my favorite story that you have ever run is about about the cemetery, the woman's house and property that's built on the cemetery, and. you know it better than I do. I'm going to let you just tell it. It's the best story you've ever run.
Sure. And you know, we got flack from her about the way we ran it through the poor woman, Melinda. They had put a double wide, a really nice place, and started, a little business on the side on the outskirts of a town called Carmi. And it was a quiet neighborhood because in their backyard, far off in the distance, was the town's cemetery, the community cemetery. And as they were going along and cleaning up their property, they were uncovering gravestones with names engraved on them, not just stones. And so Melinda went to the city and she said, "What is going on here that we are turning up gravestones?" And they said, "Oh, it's probably just something left over from the city cemetery." And she says, "No, these are dating back to the early 1800s. And then they finally found one that I think was like 1953, and they said, "Okay, that's enough." And they started looking into it and discovered that that house had been platted for a residence on top of an old cemetery that had gone defunct, the Dawn of Ages cemetery had gone defunct several years ago, and there wasn't even any, there was a church, and there wasn't even anybody left in the church to maintain the cemetery, so they just let it go, kind of just gradually hoping everybody would forget about it, and the stones, I guess they sank, or as more infrastructure was put out there on that edge of town, they got covered over, and Melinda was finally turning up bones.
Oh, my God.
In her backyard. And so she went out there and scraped everything, kind of scraped the topsoil off, and she was finding, obviously, where there were graves. And there were people buried out there for well over 100 years, 150-some years. And really, I think it just almost gave her a nervous breakdown, but the city wouldn't help her at all. They wouldn't help her with moving her home. They wouldn't help her with her taxes, with anything, and it was a nightmare. And they finally just up and moved. I mean, they left the house.
Oh, my God.
They abandoned it. It was almost something like out of Poltergeist, except the things weren't popping up out of the ground and they weren't being haunted. But you might as well be when you can't get the city to help you, when you can't get anybody to help you with your taxes and to help maybe relocate these graves when there's a cemetery right on the acreage, you know, behind you, a real cemetery. That would have been the least they could have done, but the city said, no, we can't do that because that was Dawn of Ages, and they were totally responsible for the interments, and they would be responsible for the disinterments. But no, there wasn't anybody representative of Dawn of Ages even in existence anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a request to give out the mailing address for and the price for your subscription. So I think we're getting subscriptions for you.
Hey, good deal. $35 outside of our immediate area. Our immediate area, the zip codes begin with 624 or 628. In those immediate areas, it's $32, but outside that area, it's $35. And it's a check or money order only. We don't take credit cards. To Disclosure, Route 1, Box 32A, as in Apple, Browns, the color brown with an S at the end of it, Illinois, 62818.
And you've got all that information on the website, which is disclosurenewsmagazine.org.
.com. Yeah.
You say the next things, a good lawyer and a good accountant, but you're saying keep the lawyer on retainer.
Yes.
Now, how much is a lawyer on retainer?
Well, that varies. We've had lawyers on retainer from anywhere from $750 to $1,500.
A year?
Well, yes. Mm-hmm. And then over that year's time, you'll call him for various, we call our attorney all the time for various different things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we hear the clock ticking when we call him, and he works down the retainer. And so at the beginning of the year, every year, we have to bump him back up to whatever his retainer rate is currently.
Right.
But some newspapers can join their state newspaper association,
mm-hmm.
and they will get legal advice for the cost of the membership fee in the newspaper organization, your state organization. Now, we opted not to go that way, and I'll tell you why. We're not like these other newspapers. We aren't in that category, and we don't want them as our peers.
Okay.
We rat on them because they lie. They lie by omission, or they lie outright. I can't begin to tell you. We're saturated with week-to-week and day-to-day these newspapers just blatantly telling lies. So we don't associate with the state organization, but you could get an attorney and advice, basically, for the cost of a membership. We opt to pay our attorney, and then we have him right there on retainer. We can call him anytime, and he'll talk to us anytime. It is not an inexpensive venture to go into this thing, and I will warn our listeners right up front. But what you do is you total up your costs. You find out how much it's going to cost. If you don't have a good, reliable vehicle, how much will it cost to get yours up to speed? If you don't have equipment, we use all Macs here, and Macs are very expensive, 4 or 5 times as expensive as PCs. And then you've got to have Mac-compatible fax machines and printers and Mac programs. They're expensive. And then the cost of your accountant and the cost of your attorney on retainer. You want your accountant to do your books every month so nothing goes wrong, and to do your taxes every year so that you don't mess up, and then the other media calls you on that, you know, they'll make a spectacle of you.
Absolutely.
So it's expensive to start. We did start this operation on a shoestring. We started it with a PC, not a Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And we started with the bare bones minimum. And then we built up. We turned all of our profit, any profit we had, we turned it over immediately and put it back in the business. That not only keeps you from having to pay egregious taxes every year, but, you know, it makes your investment, makes things easier for you, streamlines things. And so, but you do have to have capital up front. And I advise, don't. If somebody will say, well, we've got a grant, you're a woman, or you're a disabled woman, or you're a person of color, or ethnicity, or something, we can get you a grant to start with. Don't do that. You will be beholden in a certain way to the taxpayer if you take advantage of grants. And you don't want to be beholden to the taxpayer in any way, shape, or form, because they can hold that against you like you are holding it against the public officials who are being paid with our tax money.
Okay. By the way, the guy that wanted to, I forgot to tell you, the guy that wanted to start a distributorship is Joe, who owns the Micro Effect Radio Network.
Okay, Joe.
So that's who I was talking about.
Okay.
Okay. Now we need to go into the technical stuff. I mean, we've covered a lot of stuff that I think people understand. But then there's a whole other side of actually putting a newspaper together. And how did they learn how to do that?
Well, I was going to have Jack speak to this, but I'll tell you right up front, this is the time of day when his blood pressure gets to him. He's sacked out right now.
Jack
is not where we can talk to him. So I'll address this. Programs for your computers, particularly Macs, and I will tell you one of the reasons why we go with Macs is because they are easy to run, and the programs are much, much easier than PCs. Macs don't get viruses, and Macs don't crash nearly as often as PCs. And when you're putting a newspaper together and you're putting your pages together, you don't want anything crashing. You'll lose all your work, and it's devastating. Anybody who's even written a letter on a computer and had your Word program crash and you didn't save, what a pain. So
absolutely.
Think about putting a 28-page newspaper together and for it to crash. So you want to have reliable equipment. But the technical aspects, this is completely up to you. A lot of people who want to get into this venture are people who've been in newspaper before. And if you've been in newspaper, if you've worked even a couple of months at a newspaper, you're going to pick up all the tricks of the trade. Let me speak to some of the things that I know from actually putting pages together. You've got to know your page size. You've got to know your border size. You've got to leave something blank, you know, on the outside edge so that all your print will fit in on the inside. Your column size. Your gutter size in between your columns. Your ad specifications. So that if somebody says, oh, I've got to advertise my deer processing this month, you've got to know what size to tell them to make their ad so you can pop it on the page and go on. Yes, fonts. Jack is awake. He's reminding me of fonts. You've got to pick something that's easy for people to read, but it can't be too big and it can't be too small. Some fonts have what's called serifs, these little doodads that stick off the sides of them. Serifs are sometimes easy to read depending on the font, but sometimes they're distracting. So you look at what's the best element of the local newspapers in your area, and you pick and choose from that to make your product the easiest to read, the easiest to comprehend, the easiest on the eye. So the people, they open it up and they don't drink just their morning coffee with it, they have their whole breakfast right in front of it.
That's absolutely right. That's what I do when it comes in every month. well, it's my lunch.
Oh, okay.
the size that you chose is so different from any of the newspapers or tabloids or anything that I have ever seen. Why did you choose that size?
Well, we want to maximize how much information we get in there. We do a 5-column setup on the front page. That way, we can break up the top headline. It doesn't have to stretch, in other words, all the way across. But we're on a tabloid format, like you said. Tabloid is the smaller size. Now, a lot of people think tabloid and they think the National Enquirer, which I have nothing against the National Enquirer, and I know you don't, Ray, because, hey, they break some stuff now.
Oh, I know. I love them. In fact, when Rumor Mill, when I first started Rumor Mill, we were going to make it into a tabloid newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were thinking that we were going to get $100 million from that gold transfer week.
yeah, the gold transfer, yes.
Yeah, but guess who got stiffed on the gold commission?
Yeah, we know.
So, and not only that, then they threw Gunter in jail again, so.
Mm-hmm. Hard to produce a paper from there.
Yeah,
so,
but,
yeah.
But that tabloid style, oh my God, the people who read tabloids, and if you can get the truth out in the tabloids, which is what the tabloids do a lot of the time.
Yes, and people come to associate something controversial or stinging, scandalous, if you want, with a tabloid because that's the size that those kinds of stories apparently break in and continue in. But I want to tell you something. Working in the newspaper industry for as long as both of us have, and we've got more than a quarter century between us, tabloid is just a size. That's all it is. It's come to mean something else, but it's just a size. When you're transporting 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 newspapers in the back of a Jeep, you don't want it to be broadsheet. In other words, a big newspaper, because if that's just that much more weight. And so we opted to go with tabloid because the layout's easier. It's easier to put those pages together. It is 6 columns across by 17.5 tall. So it's smaller, it's quicker, distribution is quicker. Tabloid's just the size. But we do have a front page that really commands attention because we do get a headline that stretches occasionally. I mean, this month we do have one. You haven't gotten this month's yet, but
no, I don't.
It stretches across 5 columns. And when you see in great big huge, I believe it's Bodini is our font, maybe school book for the headline, but ambulance director bails. And then you've got a flyer underneath it that says the audit is raising suspicions. Well, we didn't say what community the ambulance director's bailing out of. Everybody's got an ambulance director, so they look at it and grabs them. And then we've got the secondary and third headlines underneath that in either 2 column setup or 1 column setup. They catch people. And that's what you want to do. A broadsheet newspaper, unless it's folded completely out, you don't really get that. But on a tabloid, they can pick that up, they can pop that open and go, oh my gosh, I need to have this. Where's my $2?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you, when your tabloid comes, I mean, that's why I say my postal workers love your magazine. And, you know, because they probably read it before they even put it in my box.
Now, headlines, when we're talking technical aspects, headlines is something that is a technical aspect. Jack is a headline genius.
You truly have to be. That's what we teach at Rumor Mill News. I teach people to write tabloid headlines.
Yes, and I'm not a headline genius. He and I, if there's one thing we fuss over every month, it's headlines, because I just can't give it to him. He has to help me out. but headline is, you've got to have something that makes people either think or grabs their attention or makes them go, oh! You know, that's the impact you want to make. And so that's actually a technical aspect of the newspaper, too.
Well, it's also a writing. It's a gift. I mean, people.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, people, it's not something that comes naturally. They literally have to develop the ability to write a good headline.
Mm-hmm. And here I've done this for 11 years, and I can't. So maybe I'm a failure. I'm talented in other ways. Yes, that's what it is. So those are the technical things, your layout all the way through the paper, how you want to present your ads, how you want to present your stories. You know, do you want to put some grayscale behind your stories? Do you want to do 3 columns or 2 columns? Those are technical things. That is completely up to you as the publisher. Doesn't that sound exciting, listeners, to be a publisher? But you can. You can be a publisher of the news. And that's what you want to do. And if you want to just keep it strictly local, just your one little community, and circulate only 500 papers, that's how we started out.
$500. So 500 papers, you were making $500. How much was it costing you to print them?
At the time, a couple hundred dollars.
So you made $300 profit.
Mm-hmm. It was $28 for a tank of gas back then to take it around, and that was all. And then, of course, advertising. If you can get your advertising to where it pays your print bill, then what you make off your rack sales is pure profit.
Now, did either you or Jack have another job or any kind of income?
No.
I mean, because you can't survive on $300 a month.
No, I have a couple of oil wells that I have little piddly revenues off of, and I get child support. And Jack pays child support, so that doesn't matter.
So the child support balances itself
out. It balances out, but no, we didn't have another income. This was it. This was our shot.
Oh, my God. What'd you do? Go to the flea market on the weekends?
Yeah, well, we're very frugal.
Oh, anyway, I've got to go mop a few more floors.
Okay, you be frugal.
So you're listening to RumorMillNewsRadio.com on the MicroEffect.com radio network, and we are teaching you how to open your own newspaper, become a publisher, nail the rats in your community to the wall, and we'll be right back.
They pay minimum wage and take half-back taxes. We're just going to draw.
Into the danger zone, and we are teaching you how to do something that the masters of this world don't want you to do, and that is the danger zone, because what we're teaching you how to do is tell your community all the things about your community that the mainstream media and the powers that be don't want the people to know. And of course, Like Angela said, you could throw in a lot of a lot of things about the Constitution, about national and state affairs. You don't have to exclusively deal with the community.
That's right. And we picked up state and national because about a year and a half after we started publication, because people were calling us and emailing us and saying, what is with our governor? Our governor's Rod Blagojevich, and we're kind of ashamed of that fact, but he was doing crazy things, and that was when Pat Fitzgerald, you know, he's from here, Chicago, and he was, they were talking indictments, and people were saying, is this true? And we said, well, let's check with us, our sources, and see. And so we started state and national pages on that, and so again, it's the common sense approach. You know, you read a seven-column-inch story, a 500-word story in a big newspaper, big daily newspaper, and you think to yourself, wait a minute, there's something missing here. What are they not saying? Well, if you have good sources and you can sense, and everybody can innately, what's not being said, you ask those questions, or you call the people who are, call Pat Fitzgerald, who cares? You know, at least call his office and see if there's anything else that can be said, and say it. And that's where these people come off saying, oh, disclosure is prophetic. They were talking about indictments long before the mainstream media was. Well, yeah, because we went ahead and we forged ahead and asked about it. And we got it on our pages before anybody else had it. Yeah, Rezko, my gosh, Jack is reminding me, Tony Rezko. And the fact that he's now singing like a bird, from what we understand. We wrote about him 2 years ago. We detailed that story in great detail 2 years ago. Jack had that story.
Well, are we going to prophesy that Tony Rezko suddenly is found hanging in his cell?
Boy, I don't know. That's a good one. I wonder if he's not being uber protected.
Well, it's sort of like the DC madam, the one that killed herself.
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of my friends that do not think she killed herself.
Oh, no.
They think that, not that she was suicided. They don't think she's dead. They think that she is in witness protection. You know, they picked up some prostitute's body that looked like her and said that was her.
Sure.
My God, the things that woman could tell. There's no way that woman would have killed herself. No way whatsoever.
No, she hadn't. There's no way she could have had a death wish, and we both said that. And see, when you, listeners, when you're sitting around with your significant other or your kids or your parents, And you're talking about these news stories. You see them on TV or you read them in the St. Louis, whatever their paper is, you know, or big newspaper, and you say, there's no way. Do you ever think that you have the power to start calling these sources and the people who have given this information and start digging yourself and finding out if the D.C. Madam issue happened in your backyard, how difficult would that be for you to, you know, actually take a few steps, submit a few FOIAs, start talking to people? Maybe it's dangerous. Maybe that's okay with you. You see, and yep. So maybe your family, maybe you don't have family. Maybe nobody's going to threaten your children, like our children were threatened 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you can. You can do this because the mainstream media isn't going to tell the, what we call the duh part of it, where you go, well, now, wait a minute. Why would that happen? That's the duh part.
Right.
The why. And the mainstream media doesn't tell the why anymore. They're bound by their corporate masters.
You know, people don't realize that the same corporate masters who own the Federal Reserve, who live in the city of London, this private city,
yes,
that the Queen has to knock to enter, they're the same people that own the newspapers.
Absolutely. And if you don't think, listeners, that this, you think your town is too small, if you live in Sikeston, Missouri, or Evansville, Indiana, and you're too small, or even one little burg surrounding them, for such a thing as the city of London or the corporate elite to have anything to do with, think again. Look at your local newspaper. If they have a website, look and see who owns that newspaper. See how far and wide that spreads out. Is your local newspaper owned by a company that used to be owned by a company owned by Conrad Black, the Sir Conrad, who is now, I guess he's sitting in a federal pen.
I know. How in the world did that happen? I mean, they're eating their own these days.
They will. It's all about, you know, who is going to ascend to the highest power and who is going to walk away with the most toys.
That's right.
And so that's the corporate elite, and that's who you're fighting if you live in a little bitty burg. I'm looking at my map, Calvert City, Kentucky, or Jackson, Missouri, which has a great German restaurant, by the way, that we like to eat at. you know, a little bitty place like
Tennessee.
Yes, there you go. Thank you. If you're living in a little bitty place like that, and you think your local media isn't owned by a corporation, but it's owned by a corporation that has ties all the way up, think again. They are owned. Everybody's owned. Everybody around us is owned. And if they are what they call an independent media, we have a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
Next door to us, over in Wayne County. But the thing about it is, they're beholden to their advertisers. If they print the wrong story, their advertisers won't advertise. If the main advertiser at the Edward Jones place, who carries a big portion of the financial page, his brother's a sex offender, and nobody knew it until Disclosure started telling about it, and he was the ambulance director of North Wayne, why, the Wayne County paper's not going to write about that because they're beholden to Edward Jones. See?
Absolutely.
But we're not.
When I started Rumor Mill, I had an advertiser, you know, want to give me $500 a month. And that was really all that I needed that time.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, oh, my God, what if I take this $500 a month? How much? Because that was a lot of money back then.
Sure.
And I said, how in the world am I going to have to gear my news to this man? And so I actually refused it. And so that's why I have the banner ad companies and Google and then donations. Rumor Mill started as a magazine, and it was $5 a month, and I just printed them up at a, you know, Kinko's type place, Staples type place, and, you know, had them stapled in the middle and folded them out and put them in a little envelope and mailed them out. And it was amazing. I was making enough money to actually think about quitting the job I had at the time. And now I'm on the web, and oh my God, I can barely pay the bills every month.
Well, and everything is just so bad, and the powers that be make it that way for us.
Absolutely, they do.
Yeah, we've had people go to our advertisers and go to our vendors and say, "How dare you?"
Yeah. So you can't put all your eggs in one basket. No. And subscriptions really is the way to go. That's what I've discovered at Rumor Mill.
Sure.
And if somebody is really wanting to do this, you know, say they live in a little town. Let's go Sandpoint. We live in Sandpoint. I think there is a Sandpoint, Idaho, now that I think about it. And pick a name, the Sandpoint Courier.
Sure.
Go get a website called the Sandpoint Courier.
Mm-hmm.
You are a publisher now.
Yes.
You are publishing a news site from called the Sandpoint Courier.
Mm-hmm.
It is so easy to set up websites. Go to GoDaddy for $5 or $10. You can buy a domain name. They'll host it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll start small. But now you can say, this is Rudy from the Sandpoint Courier, and I'd like to interview you about why you're wanting to raise our taxes on garbage.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. And you don't, you know, it's so sad that the common everyday citizen gets brushed off when they say, they call the garbage place or whatever, and they say, why are you raising our rates? And they get blown off.
Absolutely.
But then if you have a title or a name behind you and you say, I'm doing the story on this and so, explain to me why this has happened. And they'll start opening books and telling you why.
And yes, and so that's why I say go pay $10 for a web page, make up a name, you know, it could be the Sandpoint Post. Make up a name that sounds like an old type newspaper.
Yes, go back 100 years, back when it was respectable yet.
Right, right.
It could be that kind of thing. Yes.
The Sandpoint Times, you know, just all of those old names that we used to know. I want to tell my listeners right now, we're going to have a really special guest tomorrow starting at noon. We're going to have Peter Lupus from Mission Impossible. And he's going to be talking about all sorts of things, including Mission Impossible. So if you ever wanted to know the insides of what went on in Mission Impossible, this would be a good time to call in. And we've also got another man. He posts on Rumor Mill News as Scribe. And he's a constitutionalist. He probably knows the Constitution backwards, forwards, every which way. But what we're going to be talking about tomorrow is all of the wrong information. And I can give you an example of it. On the front page of Rumor Mill News, I have a picture of Thomas Jefferson. And under the picture, it says, if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their money, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them, meaning around the banks, will deprive the people of their property until their children will wake up homeless on the continents their fathers conquered. Thomas Jefferson. That is all over the internet. Well, Scribe, who will be coming tomorrow on this program, will tell you that Thomas Jefferson never said that, never wrote that. That's one of the internet myths. And you can find it on the front page of Rumor Mill News. I'm eventually going to put underneath it, this is an internet myth. I'd like to open up the lines, too. We've only got about 15 minutes, and Angela, I'm going to ask you to sort of wrap up, and if people are really interested in this, kind of think what's the first thing they need to do.
Sure.
And our telephone number here, if you want to take part in this discussion, is 888-747-1968. 888-747-1968. Gosh, where are we? Gosh, we've been talking about... Oh, we didn't go into the incorporation. That's one of the very first things you have to do before you pick up that telephone and make your first call, unless you don't own anything.
Well, and see, why it's important in the news world, in the publication world, is because while they can't take your tools of the trade if you are sued, and you
mm-hmm.
can be sued, but if you are incorporated, basically the only thing that a court can take away from you is your name, your identity. So if a court wanted to take our name away, disclosure this month. You know, if they did that, we would start up next month being called disclosed. I mean, you know, we just change the tense of the word a little bit and we'd proceed, because the only thing that could be taken away from you as a corporation doing business is really your name. They can't take the tools of the trade away from you, your computers, your vehicle, you know, anything else. And they can't stop you.
That's right.
But it's important to incorporate simply because the lawsuit thing. Now, we were sued, not sued necessarily, but we were taken to court within the first 6 months that we were in publication, and we won resoundingly. They were trying to get us to reveal a source of a story. The attorney himself did it on his own dime because
he was so mad.
Mm-hmm. And it cost him dearly. It cost him an awful lot of money, but we won, and we were just, we to this day speak of that attorney with glee, because he made the case for us. And then we've been threatened with lawsuits, and we always say, okay, here's the name of our attorney. Have at it. If you want to try, please feel free to try. But here's the deal. You have to prove that what we said is wrong. We don't have to prove we're right. You have to prove we're wrong. And first of all, and secondly, that we knew it was wrong when we went to print.
Absolutely.
And if we knew it was wrong, that we did it with malice aforethought. Now, a judge and a jury can't get in our heads to determine whether we knew it in advance and that we had malice. And that's why we display malice toward no one. People may think it's malicious. They may think that we call somebody, you know, whatever we call them, that it's malicious, but it's just, it's being obvious.
That's why it's number 3 on your list of what you have to have before you can begin to do what you're beginning. And it's malice toward none.
And that is because of lawsuits. Yeah, you will be threatened with lawsuits, and you have to know. You know, when you go to produce your stories, you make sure your sources are firm. And if it's not a good source, an official source, a state source, if you don't have documents, then you need to have independent verification. 3 different people. We go by the 3 people rule. 3 different people who are independent, really, of each other, and they tell us the same thing. Then we go with that information based on the information from those 3 people. Now, we have had sources who have given us bad information on purpose.
Absolutely.
We outed them.
Yeah.
You never out your sources, even under threat of a lawsuit, unless they give you bad information, and then you out them with everything you've got. And that's one of the reasons why that sheriff over there was a saga for a long time, because he was a source for years.
And he was giving you wrong information?
Mm-hmm. And when we found out, and then when he fell hard.
Yeah. You know, the sheriff is truly the most important elected official in every county, because the sheriff is the one that can actually stand up to the government.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish that Richard Mack would do more. Maybe I'll get him on this radio station. We can get, not only can we get people starting newspapers, we can get people running for sheriff.
Yes,
because
and you don't have to have a degree in law enforcement to run for sheriff.
And that's absolutely right. You took the words out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And in many states, you don't even have to have a law degree to be a judge.
In many states you don't. Over in Indiana you don't. Here in Illinois you do.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly enough, but yeah, that is absolutely true. And yes, your sheriff is very important. Your sheriff, your prosecutor, and your judges are your most important people in your counties. Counties being the smallest unit of government that you can affect. What is it that you say on Rumor Mill News, Ray? That your county is the smallest unit of government that has to adhere to the constitutional, you know, everything that the Constitution is still has to abide by it.
Can't remember what I said there, but what I'm trying to get people to know is we can actually take our government back one county at a time.
Yes, and that's the basis of what I've, mm-hmm. I've read. That I don't know, maybe Patriot Lad said that or something like that. We'll put it up on the site.
But yes, Patriot Lad was on the show with me yesterday.
I missed it.
Yeah,
oh,
everybody knows who Patriot Lad is now. Richard Green, the executive editor.
He's
been
awesome.
With us almost 10 years. Oh, my gosh. And he's been with us 10 years without a salary, so you know he's dedicated.
Yes,
none of the people get paid on Rumor Mill News. including me.
Well, we don't get paid for ourselves at Disclosure.
I know.
We never issue ourselves a paycheck, ever.
Oh, my God, Angela, I wish that we had had those photographs of your garden. How in the world did you grow what you grew?
Jack has a green thumb. He is absolutely amazing. I think he goes out and he talks like affectionately to the plants, or maybe sexy, I don't know, but he goes out he talks to these plants and touches them and they bloom, and we have these freezers full of frozen things and we have shelves full of canned things, and I kill plants. I go out and I give them a dirty look and they die. So, you know, it's all Jack's doing. He's amazing. But we dedicate ourselves to our kids first, and then everything else second, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything falls in place. If we dedicate ourselves to our kids, we have to feed them.
That's right.
So we do a garden, and we have to keep a roof over the head, so we do the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything falls into place, and the garden and the paper are the two things that vie for our time in the summer months. Actually, we have a winter garden right now, and it's getting drenched, but we're going to have peas here shortly.
Oh, that's incredible. Yeah, I'm getting ready to put in my winter garden, too. I put in broccoli and Brussels sprouts and peas and lettuce. I can actually grow lettuce in the winter time here in my area.
Simpson lettuce will grow in the winter. It's amazing. It's hardy as it can possibly be.
And it's amazing how far a garden will go.
Mm-hmm.
It's just incredible. I grow basil all year round.
Oh, good, yes.
And just the other day I was, you know, I'm like you. I don't have the money to go out and buy food and things like that.
Oh, you can't keep up with things at the store. And so, listeners, please, one of the things that we push in our paper and on our website is self-sufficiency. And I know Ray does,
too.
Absolutely. You must be self-sufficient. Things are going to get bad, worse than you can even imagine. I know everybody's going to say, oh, that Disclosure girl, she was prophetic. No, it's common sense. It's going to get bad. Learn to grow your food. Learn to preserve your food.
Yeah.
That's basic. And that's what we do here.
I'm getting ready to start tomatoes in my sunroom.
Yeah.
So that I've got these hanging tomato things.
Oh, yes. You get to try those this year, huh? We didn't get to try them. We thought
I know. And I've got one room that is all windows, and it gets perfect sun on one side, even in the winter. And so I'm going to put in tomatoes, and I'm going to put in zucchini.
Oh.
And so I'm going to have food hanging in my sunroom.
And nutritious food.
Exactly.
Yes.
But the reason that everybody needs to at least grow their favorite herb, as I said, yesterday I really didn't have any food. So I went and I cooked some old macaroni. Well, I didn't have anything to put on it. With a little bit of butter and my fresh basil, I had the most incredible sauce to put on top of it.
Sure, pesto.
It was healthy. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can do it as busy as I am, I'm like Jack. I do have a green thumb. But everybody needs to take responsibility.
Yes.
And so we've got about 5 minutes. How would you like to wrap up? What do you think? Well, first of all, how can people get in touch with you if they really want to follow this up and kind of pick your brains or come visit and see what you do?
Oh, sure. Hey, and we're happy to. We'll welcome anyone and calls. All of the information on how to reach us is on our Contact Us page on DisclosureNewsMagazine.com. It's all one word, DisclosureNewsMagazine.com, and that includes a link. You just click it, and it gets it right to our email address. I'd give our email address out, but my health has gotten bad, my teeth have gotten bad, my speech has gotten bad, and I have kind of a speech impediment, and it's kind of a bizarre email address. It's Toto2, like Dorothy says in The Wizard of Oz, T-O-T-O-T-O-O, at Wabash.net. That's our direct email address if anyone would like to email us.
What about disclose at DisclosureNewsMagazine.com?
That will get right to the Toto2 address. That's an alternate email, disclose@DisclosureNews.com.
No, DisclosureNewsMagazine.com.
Does it say the whole thing? Okay.
It says the whole thing. Are you DisclosureNews.com too?
No, we were going to be. We actually bought that address and then and then we didn't use it on our website. But
well, that's another thing that people, you know, when I started Rumor Mill News, by the way, talking about being sued, I went through a few years where every week somebody was threatening to sue me. They were threatening to sue me for publishing their work. They were threatening to sue me for publishing things about them. And one guy threatened to sue me because I refused to publish his work. And so, you know, you can't win. You're going to be sued for doing, and you're going to be sued for not doing.
That's right.
But like you, I knew that they could take Rumor Mill. And so I took out every variation of Rumor Mill possible, and I sort of have them hidden around the world. And one thing I actually was able to get, I'm going to brag about it, I was not really called Rumor Mill News. That was the official name, but everybody referred to me as RM News.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it came time to get a domain, I tried to get RM News, and I couldn't get it because Rocky Mountain News owned RM News.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? They forgot to buy rmnews.org. And I am rmnews.org, and I think I'm going to turn it into some sort of religious site.
Sure.
Or something. I don't know. Maybe I'll give out, you know, ministerships for $5. I'm going to make it so ridiculous that Rocky Mountain News will buy it from me for $1 million.
Hey, what an idea.
But then again, I also bought Bring 'Em On. When Bush said Bring 'Em On,
okay,
I went out and bought BringEmOn.net, BringEmOn.org, Bring 'Em On, everything. And guess what they did to me? They immediately changed Bring 'Em On to Bring It On. And they never said, you know, when the media started saying what he had said, they would paraphrase it and say Bring It On. Well, anyway, I'm going to turn Bring 'Em On, all of those, into a presidential humor page.
We need it. We're in desperation.
Oh, my God, do we need it.
Yes. And we need community newspapers, too. That's what we're...
Oh, I can hear it. I can hear the music. So let's give out a telephone number in case anybody wants to pick up the phone and say, teach me how to do this.
618-446-5390. That's the only one we have for the office. So please give us a call if you feel like that's what you want to do.
Well, Angela, this was just absolutely incredible. And hopefully you'll take that little list of questions and turn it into a story, both for your page and for Rumor Mill News. And tomorrow, we've got Peter Lupus from Mission Impossible. And we also have Scribe, the constitutionalist and Second Amendment expert, who's going to teach us about all the things on the Internet that are not true. Thanks again, Angela, from DisclosureNewsMagazine.com. You're listening to RumorMillNewsRadio.com on the MicroEffect.com. See you tomorrow.